This episode is brought to you by Fuli Gemstones. I think what's interesting about your first design of a leaf, meaning turning over a new leaf, you literally were.
And I always feel like with women especially, like every day we're turning over a new leaf. Every day there's a new beginning, something, an emotion we're feeling, whether it's a new job, a new friendship, a new relationship, a new moment in your relationship, your kids are growing up, like all these things that it's so symbolic to me.
I'm Carol Holton, the voice of jewelry. Welcome to If Jewels Could Talk. I'm an author and broadcaster, and the woman who initiated the role of jewelry editor at magazines like Tatler and Vogue. This is a podcast for everyone, for people who do like jewelry, for people who don't realize they like jewelry, and anyone intrigued by fascinating facts, new ideas, and forgotten histories. So join me as I tell sparkly tales and meet all sorts of people, delving into four centuries of jewelry culture, and investigate what's happening now. Today, I'm talking to Jennifer Meyer in Los Angeles, who was born and raised in her hometown, began her brand in 2005, in line with her life philosophy, be authentic, unique, and always sparkle. In 2012, she was named Hollywood's top 20 red carpet designers. She has won the CFDA Vogue Fashion Fund. And along the way, she's become the most loved brand by most of Hollywood's cool girls. Jennifer Aniston, Kate Hudson, Courtney Cox. And the city where she first built her brand, Los Angeles, still inspires her. Welcome, Jennifer. Thank you so much for coming on to If Jewels Could Talk.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I wanted to know about growing up in LA and what was it you think that kind of drove you in the direction of jewelry?
I don't really know what growing up in LA necessarily did or didn't do in going in that direction. I would say that my grandmother had a huge influence. I was always around, you know, the movie world and the movie industry, and I was never sort of drawn to making movies. I loved watching them. I loved seeing people that I knew in them. I loved that whole vibe. But my grandmother was an amazing artist and she did a lot of enameling. And we used to make jewelry together in her. She had this kiln in her kitchen, this tiny little kitchen. And so I loved doing that. And then after college, I did fashion PR and worked for Glamour magazine. So I was working for Glamour as an editor. I was beauty fitness editor of Glamour magazine on the West Coast. And then I did the fashion PR for Giorgio Armani and then Ralph Lauren. I think I loved that whole design world. And I was always drawn to jewelry, but I had no idea what I was doing.
But what kind of artist was your grandmother? Was she?
She was an enamelist. So it's such a specific thing, but she did these. I can explain it. Like if you see something like this, I have it right next to me. You do wires and you create the picture that you want by wires. So, you know, I know you guys can't see it, but these are little birds and she created little birds and then you put all the colors. They're like beads of colors and you put it in there and then you cook it in a kiln and it turns out to be this like gorgeous piece of art. She did all kinds of things, but we did a lot of jewelry together. She'd make rings or she would make, you know, bracelets and she was just amazing. So I think that it was part of my growing up. And when I was at Ralph Lauren, my ex-husband now, but was my person at the time, still best friend, so it's all good.
So this is Tobey Maguire. So everybody knows this is Tobey Maguire, the actor.
Yes. And at the time, you know, I was working in fashion PR and he was massively successful. And, you know, he said, what do you want to do? And I said, I don't know. And he said, you know, Jen, everybody has a dream. Everyone has a secret dream that they're too scared to say out loud because they think they don't know how to do it. They'll never figure it out. It doesn't matter. What do you want to do? And I was like, I don't know. And he said, what? Just say it. He goes, don't be scared. Do you want to be an actress? Do you want to be a writer? Do you want to be an astronaut? He said, do you want to be a doctor? He's like, what do you want? And I said, I want to design jewelry. And he's like, well, that doesn't seem too difficult. I was like, well, I don't know. I don't know where to begin, how to start. I've got no clue. And he said, there's like a great Star Wars quote, even though I've never seen Star Wars, which is embarrassing, but he loves Star Wars. And he said, do or do not, there is no try. And I really love that. And it was kind of like, just go do it. Like, it doesn't matter if it works or not, just go do it. And so I saved a little bit of my own money, and I was still working at Ralph Lauren. So I was saving a little bit of money, and I started to go downtown or to Beverly Hills, to Culver City. If it said jeweler on the door, I knocked on the door. I had an idea for a leaf, and I didn't know what a mold was. I didn't know the price of gold. I didn't understand diamonds, pave diamonds. I had no clue what I was doing. And I started asking each jeweler, hey, can you help me create this leaf? I had a bad drawing. And most of them were like, sorry, we don't have time. I found like a couple people who were willing to help me make it and sort of taught myself the whole process. You know, one person would charge me $50 for a mold. The next would charge me $150 for a mold. I was sort of like figuring out all the little components.
Had you designed jewelry when you were working for Ralph Lauren?
I had never designed anything in my life. I felt it.
You felt it, you drew it, you went, you found someone to make you a mold. Were you working in silver or gold at that point?
I sort of went straight for gold. I've always worked in 18 karat gold. The beauty of it at the time, you know, this is pre-Instagram. So I didn't have fear, or I wasn't looking at what other people were doing or how successful other people were, or this one has a brand. I need to do it like this. How am I going to brand this? What is this going to look like? I really had a passion for wanting to figure this out and design something. I wasn't like, what is the company going to look like? What is the branding? What is the colors? I was like, I want to design jewelry that I want to wear, that I want other people to love, that can layer, that can be timeless, that isn't seasonal. And I had this idea and I just started designing the pieces. I got very lucky that people loved them.
So you're going around, knocking on doors, getting this made. So how many did you make to start with?
One. I didn't know what was happening, what I was doing. So I made a leaf. I made a cigar band and I made a wishbone. I had these few little pieces. My dream was to be in Barney's. That was it. But I didn't know anyone at Barney's, didn't understand how you sold jewelry. I mean, I had no clue what I was doing. I started to ask everyone and their mother, do you know anyone who works at Barney's? And not like a salesperson, but like in the, you know, higher ups. And there was no Instagram or LinkedIn or any of it to find anyone. So it's just word of mouth. And a girlfriend of mine said, oh yeah, I know a woman. She's actually going to be in town next week. I'll call her. Maybe she wants to see your jewelry. I'm like, okay, great. So this woman makes an appointment with me. Her name was Julie Gilhart and she ran Barney's. I had no idea. Thank God I didn't know. I would have been scared. So I go to Barney's. There was a restaurant there at the time on the top floor in Los Angeles. It was super cool. And I put all my jewelry in Ziploc bags so it would stay separate and not tangle. So I was amateur, but I thought it was a great idea. I show her all the jewelry. She's like, this is great. Thank you. That night she calls me. She said, that wishbone you showed me, I would really love to give it to Albert Albaz for his birthday. I didn't even know who that was. I was like, okay. So, you know, I had one of those little silk pouches, you know, like the Chinese print, those beautiful like color. It comes in a blue and a pink and a yellow. I put it in there. No clue what I'm doing. I go drop it to her. I hand her an invoice. Like you would think now you're like, okay, that could be like PR, but no, I hand her an invoice because I'm like, I'm going to look professional here. She wrote me a check. It was great. Simultaneously, because I was working for Ralph Lauren still at the time, Jennifer Aniston's team for the breakup was pulling clothes for her for the movie. And I said to the team, oh, I've designed a few pieces of jewelry. I just like wanted like an opinion of a professional, not to show to Jennifer Aniston for the breakup. That would be crazy. And this is before Jen and I were even friends. I mean, we were friendly, but we didn't really, you know, we weren't like where we are now. They said, we really like these. We would love to show Jen today for thank you for the breakup. And I was like, oh, okay. And they're like, don't worry. She picks all her own stuff ultimately. Like, you never know. I'm like, okay. So I send my one piece of everything to Jen, or to the breakup.
So she can't have the wishbone because Albert Elbaz has got the wishbone.
Well, with that, I quickly had made one more wishbone because I wanted to have it on hand. I wanted to, like, whatever. So this random guy made one more wishbone. So at this point, I have one leaf, one cigar band, a pair of leaf earrings, and the wishbone. So I send it off. I don't hear one thing for 3 weeks. At this point, I'm like, oh, the breakup thinks these pieces are shit. Forget it. I'm not even going to call to check in. My heart can't take it. I don't want to hear the I don't want to hear that they didn't like it. Just, I'm going to pretend this never happened. Let's just flush this idea down the toilet, right? Now I'm getting like, okay, I can't even take it. 3 weeks later, I get a call from the breakup. We really love these pieces. We need three of each. I was like, okay, you have to send those back to me. I have to make them. They're like, what do you mean send them back? I'm like, those are my samples. I don't know how I did it. I got them back. I literally like begged these people. I made them so quickly. I remember sending an invoice to the breakup, which was less than cost because I was so like, I didn't know how to price anything and I didn't want them to think they were overpriced. At the same time, I got a call from Barney's saying, we really like these pieces. We'd love to put them in Barney's. So I got my first order from Barney's. And I remember it going into Barney's actually and going in and seeing like my nameplate where it said Jennifer Meyer with the jewelry and thinking, oh my God, please let this do well. They invested in making this nameplate for me. Like, it goes into Barney's. The breakup comes out. Jen is wearing all my jewelry. And it was a perfect storm. It was literally leaf mania. It was incredible. It sort of really jump-started my business. I mean, I didn't have packaging. I didn't have anything. And
so it was those two things coinciding, the film and Barney's at the same time.
Exactly.
And so what did you do? Did you then leave Ralph Lauren?
I did. But I do have to say with Ralph Lauren, I had such an amazing relationship with them. And Ralph and his son David were always so supportive of me. And Rebecca McCabe, who now runs Chanel, she was my boss there. And I was really honest and transparent. And I said, I'm also trying to sort of like start this jewelry business. I don't really know what it'll be or not, but I'm making jewelry right now to see what will happen. And they said, great. We love you. We love the honesty. That doesn't affect us at all. And we would still love for you to consult for us. So that's what I did. Still was consulting for them. It says, so there's something I always think about it now in my life, like to be so honest, I think that people appreciate that. And you really give people an opportunity to like tell you what they need. So I stayed on with Ralph Lauren for a little bit, which was great. And it was help funding, making some more jewelry.
I think what's interesting about your first design of a leaf, meaning turning over a new leaf, you literally were.
Yeah. And I always feel like with women especially, like every day we're turning over a new leaf. Every day there's a new beginning, a new experience, something, an emotion we're feeling, whether it's a new job, a new friendship, a new relationship, a new moment in your relationship. Your kids are growing up. Like all these things that it's so symbolic to me, you know, when you're thinking to yourself like, okay, this is what life is about. Sometimes it's great and amazing. Sometimes it's scary. Like you never know.
So Barney's did an order. You have to start fulfilling the order. You're still working to pay for the new orders. So what was the next kind of breakthrough moment?
You know, in that moment, you have to really decide, like not decide, but you have to really keep designing things that people hopefully love. You know, you can't just be a one-hit wonder. That you're not going to create a business on being a one-hit wonder. You know, you're going to have a moment, but you better keep doing stuff that people love. So I kept designing. At the time, in those first few years, I had two tiny babies. I was exhausted. I was trying to start, you know, this business on some level. I would say a couple years into the business, there were, and the business was doing great at Barney's. I mean, it really just took off overnight. It was awesome. I started designing initials before people were really doing initials. They did incredible. That was really fun. There's a lot of things, the good luck charm, all these pieces that are still a part of my, you know, core collection. But I would say the biggest next moment was doing the CFDA. That was an incredible moment because you're doing it with Vogue. You're in a room with Anna Wintour and Jenna Lyons and Andrew Rosen and all these incredible people who really understand jewelry, really understand sales. You know, it's a few hundred people that apply and then it goes down to 50 and then it goes down to 10. And it wasn't, that was a moment because once at that time, you're getting the stamp of approval from Vogue and from Anna Wintour, you're really in good shape.
What did she say about your jewelry? Do you remember what she said?
Oh, she was so awesome. I mean, I was so scared of her at first.
Well, she has this intimidating persona.
She was so awesome. Here's my email. Email me anytime for questions. I'm like, these women are so successful because like you email her, you get an email back quick.
Busy people always email quick, don't they?
Yes, it's true. And successful people, you know, they're successful people. So she was always supportive. And, you know, then your jewelry is in Vogue and it's, you're winning this great award. And the best part of it was you get a mentor and you get to pick a mentor in the fashion industry. And I picked DVF and you get your mentor for a year.
Diane von Furstenberg.
Yes. And DVF was incredible to me. She was so insightful when it came to design, when it came to, you know, stores, all of it. And I remember at the end of the year, I was like, wait, I only get you for a year. And she said to me, Jen, I'm going to be your mentor forever. And I was like, oh my God. So I think the CFDA really helped catapult it into a place where I was a respected designer.
I mean, that's some mentor to have because she's so amazing. Inspiring as a woman, apart from as a businesswoman as well.
Totally.
I always think that is the dilemma in designing jewelry. And tell me what you think about this, is that A, you've gone into it because you want to be creative and design, but you land up having to be a businesswoman.
Yeah.
So how was that?
Well, I mean, I went to school for child and family psychology. So I didn't go to school for business. I didn't go to school for design. And I would say that for me, I started as a one-woman show, doing everything, going to the jewelers and sitting at the bench and learning how it was all made. I was writing up the invoices. I was doing the FedExing. I was doing every little thing, every little step. I really taught myself how to do it. And I think that that's always really important if you're starting any company to really understand from the ground up. It's still challenging. It's still crazy to me sometimes where I'm like, wow, I'm designing all these things and you have a whole team that works with you and you're paying salaries and you're doing HR and you're doing all these things. And I got very, I don't want to say lucky. I mean, I'm very lucky with my amazing team. I'm very blessed to have such an incredible team with me. But, you know, you work hard and you do step by step. And I think that the key to running a business is being really intuitive and trying to be really kind and really knowing that like not every day is going to be easy and people are kind of doing the best that they can. You just got to work with your team and respect your team and try not to micromanage and give people the power to do what they're going to do.
So did you take on a business manager to help you do the whole kind of cash flow and figure out the next phase of when you go into build your own store?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very lucky now. Yes, I have a business manager and I have a lot of people who are working with me at the company and doing a lot of stuff that now I would have no clue how to do. I'm not great at managing money, so I like to make sure that there are people that do that, and there's a lot of them that do that. I like to make sure that every single dollar lines up. Just because it's a business, you know, you can't mess around.
And it's hard. And it's a very hard business. People think, for some reason, because jewelry is such a lovely subject and it's full of joy, people think, oh, that's a really pleasant, easy business. And it's really not.
I think that what happens is you design a few pieces and you get a few people that want to buy the pieces. And the return on jewelry at times can be a great return. So you're seeing yourself make money on the return, but that's not sustainable for an actual business. You can do that for a period of time, but to actually have a business, you really have to make pieces that people love, that people want to come back for, that are amazing quality, that are great quality diamonds, et cetera, et cetera, that they're designs that people want to wear. And then you have a business.
Then you have a business. Yes, you've got to have the product. You've got to have stuff people want to buy.
Totally.
So now after the film, The Breakup, I mean, Jennifer Aniston wearing your pieces, did that kind of bond you? Did she come back to you for other jewelry then? And is that how you became such good friends?
Jen and I just had mutual friends. We were always sort of circling around each other in different ways. I actually remember the first time I met her, we were at a party and I was sitting down on the grass and somebody walked her over and somehow like, I was like, oh my God. And I got on my knees and she sort of leaned down and we gave each other this huge hug. And that was sort of the beginning of just a sisterhood. She's a pretty phenomenal human being. She's one of my most supportive, loyal, incredible friends who loves so hard and has the same group of girls around her that she has had for 30 plus years. Obviously, the world loves Jennifer Aniston, and I always laugh about it because she's so loved. But like, if people actually knew her, they would be so bazillion more times madly in love with her because she's sort of as good as they get. I mean, she's just the most supportive. But like, she's really good even at, you know, 1 a.m. when you're having a mental breakdown or depressed or going through a breakup or need to share something. She's the person that's like, you know, you're sitting on her couch having a drink while she's making you, you know, a turkey roll up for some protein. She's a phenomenal human.
So how important was the celebrity endorsement in the building of the brand? Was that very important?
I think it really helped. I have to be honest. The thing is, I couldn't afford to give out gifts. I couldn't afford to give out PR packages. I couldn't just send things. Jewelry is so expensive to make. It's not like sending a sweatsuit. It's not like sending a candle. You know, the investment is so major. So I could not afford for my company, and I still can't, to just send gifts. It's not possible. You know, I feel like Jen was obviously the beginning of the Jennifer Meyer brand, but you know, you're not going to have just a successful company based on one person, even though Jen probably has that power. But yeah, the celebrities, they wanted to wear it on red carpets. They purchased it. I got really lucky that people saw the jewelry and loved the jewelry and wanted a piece of the jewelry. So it always helps when you have people who are visible supporting you. I mean, now it's amazing what visibility you can get in a day. Then you really had to wait and wait and wait. It was slow and steady wins the race. I think there was some sort of magic to that. Now with Instagram, things come and go in a day and people are waiting for the next thing. People are waiting for like, what else are they doing? What else are they doing? What else are they launching? What else is exciting? Who else is wearing it? It's like very little time for any design to live, whether you're making clothes, whether you're making jewelry, whether it doesn't matter. It's like people are waiting for the next thing to be stimulated.
It's very interesting how you built your brand and that you targeted Barneys, because, you know, I was thinking, oh, this podcast would be so useful for young designers as well who want to listen in and hear how to build a brand. But in a way, it's sort of very difficult because of the transition of department stores, and that sort of traditional route in that you go and target a store doesn't really exist for people anymore, does it?
Well, that's a great question. And I think that for me, at the time, people didn't sell themselves online. There wasn't major shopping online. People really didn't have their own websites at the time. So you were at the mercy of these stores. So I was like, Barneys is number one. I'm going to Barney's. How do I figure that out? And if I get a no, I'll go to plan B. I don't have a plan B, but let me figure out plan A. And I figured it out. And I didn't get discouraged because I didn't have to get discouraged. I had already had a job. So I was trying to figure this out. I think now what's beautiful is that designers can really have control. They can really set up their online shop in a way that they really want to represent themselves and people can go shopping there. I think the best, and by the way, after Barney's was Net-a-Porter. Net-a-Porter, and I know RIP Barney's, that was a very sad day when it closed, but Net-a-Porter continues to be, after 10 plus years, a phenomenal partner of mine. And I love them. And they were really, in my opinion, the pioneers of online shopping.
Yes, I agree.
Right? And so that was always amazing. And finally, at the time that Barney's was closing, even though I didn't know it was closing because it happened in a day, I started to realize that the world was shifting and started to build my own online world. So by the time Barney's closed, I was selling online very little and very slowly, but I got very lucky in that moment because I still had a vehicle to sell.
What works now? Is it your store? Is it online? What is the best vehicle for you now?
It's a little bit of everything now. I've got great relationships with my stores, and now I have a great relationship with Neiman Marcus and Net-a-Porter and some, you know, other places.
You've got it all covered, all bases covered.
Yeah. But that took a long time. That was not overnight. You know, I have my store, I have my online, but that was, again, that slow and steady wins the race. That was step by step. Like, I never borrowed money. I had saved over a period of time to start my business, you know, under $8,000. And at the time, that was so much money for me, I cannot explain. But, you know, I got lucky because I was still working for Ralph Lauren. And then I moved in with my boyfriend who didn't make me pay rent. So I saved that rent money over a period of time, really. And that amount of money, which I started in 2005 that I started my jewelry company on, is still what my brand is on. Every dollar I spend has been made from that initial investment. Nobody else owns the company. There's no other investors. So when I say, like, brick by brick, slow and steady, I literally bricked by bricked it, necklace by necklace, ring by ring, earring by earring. It's great, but it's work, but it's amazing.
And it's quite interesting that, you know, LA has inspired you so much, but it's not that kind of, when I look at your jewelry, it's the antithesis of the kind of red carpet, big diamond look. It's kind of carefree, youthful keepsakes that I think describe how women live now.
Listen, wouldn't you agree that as a woman, we look in our jewelry box or drawer or whatever it is, and you know where each piece came from, who bought it for you, what the occasion was, when you bought it, how much it cost, what you were feeling when you bought it. There's so much meaning behind jewelry. And I always wanted people to look in their jewelry box and still be wearing their Jennifer Meyer pieces 10 years later, 20 years later, giving it to their child, whatever it was. So I really wanted to create everyday pieces, but that were still substantial, that were still going to last a lifetime. And a lot of them that had meaning behind it. You know, you look at this, I'm wearing, you can see it, but right now I'm wearing like a very large tennis necklace. And I'm wearing it with my good luck charm.
What's your good luck charm?
My good luck charm, it's one of my biggest bestsellers. And I wanted to really design something that you could put on and feel like, okay, I got this. I am being protected. It is lucky. It has a heart, a horseshoe, four-leaf clover, an elephant with a trunk up, an ohm, an evil eye. Has all these symbols that represent love, luck, protection, peace of mind, all the good things. It's funny because it's like a very, very like substantial sort of medallion piece. It's a heavy piece of gold. And I hear stories about it all the time. I mean, people call me, they're like, you don't understand. I was so miserable. I broke up with my boyfriend. Everything was going wrong. I put that good luck charm on. I'm madly in love. I don't know what to tell you. I got the job of my dreams. It's never coming off. I had a girlfriend who literally, like, same thing. She had taken the good luck charm off. Everything was going haywire. I was like, I'm telling you, even if you put it in your t-shirt, I don't need to see it. Put that good luck charm on. She's like, oh my God, I met the man of my dreams last night. I put that on. It's one of those pieces that I don't know, but I put so much time and energy into it, designing that perfect piece. That's the good luck charm. That's my love bracelet.
It's like a ton of good luck charms in one charm. It's got, with all those different incarnations of good luck.
But you're asking about the red carpet. I really wanted to design pieces that you could wear day to night, that you could put on and not take off. You know, that if you threw your sweatpants on or your pair of jeans, you could go wear your diamond tennis necklace or your good luck charm or your evil eye. And then if you have something fancy that night, you can keep your same jewelry on. You know, like women all day were like trying to get dressed, trying to have a cute outfit, trying to feel cute in it, get our bag, get our shoes, get out the door. Like we don't have time to change our jewelry every day. Like, no way.
And do you find that you need to direct people how to wear it? Do people come in to buy one piece or do they want kind of a whole look from you?
You know, I think everybody's different. I think there are women who just have a very specific sense of style. They know what they want and they know how they want it to look. That's me. I always know like what I'm feeling, what I want, how I envision it. And then I think there are like super cool, stylish women out there that are looking at somebody that they love their style and they've got no shame in being like, do that to me. What can here? I don't want to think about it. What can I do that looks cute? And I respect that, you know? Like, I've got no shame in saying to somebody, I love your bag. Who makes it? I love those shoes. Who makes it? Like, what do they say? There's some sort of like imitation is the best form of flattery or whatever it is.
And we all pick up ideas from other people.
Yeah. I'm surrounded by such cool women with such good style. Like, it's great.
And I thought, actually, you know, you want jewelry that doesn't date, that jewelry that lasts and they'll keep wearing. I suppose that's another dilemma building a business, because in a way you want people to keep coming back, don't you? So they can still wear them, but then how do you entice them to come back and buy something new?
You know, you just got to keep designing stuff that people love.
Even if they don't need it, they come in and want it.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't really think that way for myself because I think that would really stunt my design process. I just keep on trying to design things that I love, that I would wear, that I feel other women like me would love. I try and design, you know, all price points and really accessible price points and higher end. And if I'm not going to love it and I'm not going to wear it, you're not going to see it, you know? And they're all like layering pieces. I mean, if you look at my wrist, I don't know, 1, 2, 3, I've got 5 bracelets on right now, all different. One's gold, one's diamond, one's turquoise. Just try and mix it up and pile it on.
And I notice that you seem to have pieces relevant for different stages of women's life. You seem to have the engagement, the wedding, the mama. It seems to go through the different sort of milestones women are going to hit.
That's sweet. I'm happy you feel that way. Yeah, exactly. Everything from wedding bands and, you know, special engagement rings for certain clients and mama for the new mama or any mama, you know? I mean, we've got all kinds of special things.
And do you think women should wear it differently as they get older?
No. I think people should just wear your jewelry how it makes you feel best. Age is just a number. It's all about mentality. It's all about how you feel in your head and your heart. And that's just what I keep on trying to remind myself all the time. You know, it doesn't matter what age we are. Like, you gotta just find your sense of peace and happiness. And it's not always easy, but who has time to think about like, oh, I shouldn't have long hair because I'm a certain age, or I shouldn't wear such a short skirt because I'm a certain age, or maybe I've got too much jewelry on. It's not good on my neck anymore because my neck doesn't look like I'm 18 years old. I don't know. Like, if people are thinking that while looking at you, like, those are not your friends. If you feel good in it, you just enjoy it and love it.
It's a good tip.
Yeah, because we could all get into our heads real easy about that, you know?
Do you think people wear it differently in different areas, like in LA compared to, say, London?
There's something about London. I was actually just there. We had a great time. We were there for Thanksgiving. Oh, my God. London was incredible. It was so beautiful. It was cold and gorgeous out. And women are very sophisticated and put together, you know, like they really are always like you don't know if they're going to lunch or they're going to like a really nice event. You know, LA is a very laid back.
Yeah.
People are in their workout clothes, their sweats, their sweatshirt. They're in a sweatshirt with jeans for dinner. So there's definitely a more laid back vibe, I would say, in LA, a much more beach vibe. I mean, I grew up in LA. I was born and raised, lived on the beach. So I'm always casual. I feel like LA, you can never be too underdressed. And in London, you can never be too overdressed. You know, but I really try and design my jewelry that you are, if you're in LA and you are laid back in your sweatpants, like that jewelry looks great. But if you are a sophisticated, adorable London gal, like that is the same jewelry you could wear and it'll look great with your, you know, trench coat.
Do you have any trends coming through for this year?
You know, I don't really look at trends. Because I will spin myself out. I think that jewelry is something that if you're looking to buy a piece, it really just has to speak to you and you have to love it and not worry about what is trendy or cool. There's a few pieces that I think are essential. I think a great pair of hoops is essential in your wardrobe. I think like a necklace that you love, whether it's an initial, whether it's a good luck charm, whether it's a heart, like something that speaks to you. I think that when you get to the point in your life where you can get a diamond tennis necklace, you will have that one forever. That would be like a first investment piece that I would buy. That's really where I trend.
And what about colors? Do you suddenly think, oh my God, I'm feeling turquoise this year and I'm going to make it all about turquoise? Or do you get a feeling about color?
I'm always about turquoise. If you look at my collection, I think turquoise is amazing and special and beautiful with diamonds, beautiful on its own, really makes everything pop. I'm a huge turquoise person. It's a really protective stone. I think if you're, you know, diamonds or you can never go wrong with a diamond. And I've been working a lot more with amethyst. I love amethyst. Love color.
But you just get a particular passion for one color at a time or all of them all at the same time.
You know what? Like, that's the thing about the design process is like something comes to you and you get really excited about it. And then you just go hard and then you come back to something else, you know?
Yeah, totally. I know that. That's how I wear my jewelry.
Good. I love that.
I mean, I wear things and wear things and wear things, put them away, wear something else and go back. And I think that's what you should do with jewelry. So how do you divide your time now? Design versus managing the business versus PR versus Instagram, social media?
I mean, it's not really a divide anymore. It's like everything is happening every day all at once, to be honest. I try and create like a design day where I'm sitting there really focused. But Instagram and social media and PR and press, that's happening all day, every day. I think Instagram is very important. I think that we're a little too precious with it. Everyone's so sort of obsessed with their Instagram being perfect. But I think that we don't need it to be perfect. I think you just got to throw stuff up there. And I think that it's just the most incredible PR vehicle for people if they can just put their stuff on Instagram.
Do you think that a lot of people buying your jewelry are buying into you and your style and your lifestyle as well?
I mean, I think people always want to see who the designer is and what they're up to and what their style is. You know, I'm always sort of questioning my, you know, I don't know. It's like, I don't love to put myself out there on Instagram. I should definitely do it more because really people are so sweet and kind when I do it. But I think for designers, like, yeah, show people like what you're wearing, how you're wearing it, you know, own it. I'm just kind of bad at it, but I should get better. But I do think that people appreciate that.
Yeah, I think so too. And do you think that means that it becomes a sort of female brand, or do you think men can buy into the jewelry as well?
I mean, listen, a lot of men buy jewelry for their significant others, which is amazing and I love. You know, I don't do a men's line yet, so I think there's sometimes men buying a few pieces for themselves, but it's so much more for women.
Just last thing, I wanted to know, did you have three top tips? If anyone's listening and wanted to build their own brand, what would your three top tips be?
Okay, this is a good question. I don't know, so this is going to be off the cuff. But I would say if I had three top tips, number one, love what you are starting. Love what you're designing or creating. Really have a passion for it because you're going to be stuck with that for hopefully ever, hopefully a very long time. So really be invested in it. Don't just do it because you think maybe this is a good idea, but you don't care about it. Really care about what you're doing. Manage your money well. Talk to people. Ask questions. Ask people their advice. Ask people when you're having problems. Have fun. Enjoy what you're doing. You know, have fun doing it. And know that, like, as you're hiring people, slow and steady. Like, you don't need to do everything at once. You know, really love what you're doing and don't think like, oh, because this person's doing this or this person's doing that, that like I have to be the most successful right away. Like, you really got to go slow and steady and build brick by brick. So you know that like this worked, this didn't work. If you're doing too much at once, you're not going to know what worked and what didn't work. You know, go very slow.
Well, I think that's good advice. Thank you. Jennifer, we're going to let you go back into the sunshine of LA and all that lovely creative energy while we're in the freezing cold here. But thank you so much for joining us and sharing your experience and your journey with us. Thank you.
Thank you so much. This was amazing. You guys are awesome.
Thank you for listening. For this and other episodes of If Jules Could Talk, please go to our website, carolwalton.com/podcasts. I hope you've enjoyed it. Please share it any way you can. And we love to have a rating and a comment. We do have a new YouTube channel, so take a look at that. And you can reach me on at Carol Walton on Instagram. And please join me again in 2 weeks for the next Jeweled Nugget. You'll be traveling with me to Venice. We'll be exploring a fantastic new exhibition, Buccellati, the Prince of Goldsmiths, finding out all about the life and legacy of Mario Buccellati and the art of goldsmithing. So please join me then. And thank you for listening. Bye-bye. If Jules Could Talk with Carol Walton is produced by Natasha Cowan, music and editing by Tim Thornton, graphics by Scott Bentley, illustration by Geordie Labanda. You can find our sponsors at fuligemstones.com and me at carolwalton.com.